This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to handle anonymous or online complaints that lead to mediation. Turn a faceless complaint into a fair, structured mediation process. In short, anonymous and online complaints are the hardest complaints to mediate, because you're missing the most important ingredient, a person willing to stand in the room. Handled badly, they destroy trust on both sides. Handled well, they can surface real problems and lead to genuine repair. Triage the complaint before doing anything else. Not every anonymous grievance is ready for mediation. Protect the respondent as carefully as you protect the complainant. Both deserve procedural fairness. Structure replaces rapport. When face-to-face trust is absent, your process becomes the foundation. Definition: anonymous complaint mediation is the structured process of addressing a workplace grievance submitted without the complainant's identity, guiding all parties toward resolution through careful fact-finding, protected communication, and facilitated dialogue, even when direct face-to-face conversation is not immediately possible. A manager I worked with years ago received an email complaint about a team member. No name. No context beyond a few charge sentences submitted through the company's anonymous reporting portal. He did what most people do. He called the person named in the complaint into his office that same afternoon and told them about it. Within 24 hours, the team had fractured. Three people suspected of being the complainant. Two of them resigned within a month. The real issue, a pattern of dismissive behaviour in team meetings, was never addressed at all. Anonymous complaint mediation requires a different set of mediation skills than any other kind of dispute. You cannot read the room because there is no room. You cannot watch body language, hear tone, or sense when something is about to tip. You are working from text, often written in a moment of frustration or fear, and you are expected to build a fair process from that thin foundation. This article gives you a step-by-step method for doing exactly that. Why anonymous and online complaints break normal mediation approaches. The standard mediation model assumes two willing parties, present and identifiable, who agree to work toward resolution. Anonymous complaints remove that assumption entirely. You may have one party who does not know they are a respondent yet, and another who may never enter the room at all. Online complaints add a second layer of difficulty. Written text strips away everything that gives meaning to human communication: tone, hesitation, the pause before a difficult word. A sentence that reads as a serious accusation may have been written in a moment of anger and mean something far less severe. A complaint that looks minor on paper may carry months of accumulated distress behind it. You cannot know until you dig. The temptation is to treat the written complaint as the truth of the situation. That is the most dangerous mistake a mediator can make. What you need to settle before you start. Three things must be in place before you take a single step in the process. First, confirm that mediation is the right route. Some anonymous complaints describe behaviour that requires formal investigation, not mediation: harassment, discrimination, or conduct that may have legal consequences. If that is what you're looking at, mediation is not your tool. Refer the matter appropriately and document your decision. Second, establish your authority to act. Who has asked you to mediate? What are the boundaries of your role? If you're an internal mediator, you need to understand what information you can access, what you can share, and what decisions sit above your level. Clarity here protects you and both parties. Third, commit to procedural fairness from the start. This means you treat the complaint as information to be investigated, not as established fact. It means the respondent gets a genuine opportunity to respond before any conclusions are drawn. Skipping this step does not speed things up. It creates a second dispute on top of the first. The six-step process for mediating anonymous and online complaints. Step 1. Triage the complaint with care. Read the complaint twice before you do anything else. On the first read, absorb the content. On the second, ask these questions. Does this describe a specific incident, a pattern of behaviour, or a general feeling of discomfort? Does it name anyone specifically, or describe behaviour that points clearly to an individual? Is the language factual, emotional, or a mixture of both? This distinction matters enormously. He screamed at me in front of the whole team on Thursday is a factual claim. She always makes me feel invisible is an expression of emotional experience. Both are valid, but they require different approaches in mediation. Treating an emotional expression as a factual accusation is one of the fastest ways to derail a process before it begins. After your two reads, write a one-paragraph summary of the core complaint in plain language. This becomes your working document throughout the process. Step 2. Decide whether to seek more from the complainant. If the complaint was submitted through a portal or system that allows for response without revealing identity, use it. Send a brief, neutral message that acknowledges receipt and asks two or three specific questions to help you understand the situation better. Keep your questions factual and non-leading. For example, you mentioned a meeting on Thursday. Was this a recurring event or a one-time occurrence? Do not ask questions that pressure them to identify themselves or that suggest you are building a case against anyone. If the complainant has chosen to remain fully anonymous with no return channel, you proceed with what you have. Do not invent detail or fill gaps with assumption. Document exactly what you know and what you do not. This step connects directly to the skills covered in How to Resolve Interpersonal Tension Through Empathy, the ability to hear what is underneath the words, not just what the words say on the surface. Step 3. Approach the respondent with precision. This is the step most people get wrong, and I have watched it wreck otherwise salvageable situations. The respondent is about to hear that a complaint has been made about them. How you open the conversation shapes everything that follows. Meet privately. Never disclose this by email or in a shared space. Open by explaining the process, not the accusation. Something close to this. I want to speak with you about something that has come through our complaints process. A concern has been raised that involves your working relationships. I am here to understand your perspective and to work through this fairly with you. I am not here to make accusations. At this stage, I will share what the concern relates to in general terms, and I need you to know that you have a full opportunity to respond. Then share the substance, not the source. Describe the behaviour or incident that was reported, not who reported it. Give the respondent time to respond. Listen without interrupting. Take notes. The Strategies for Diffusing Heated Conversations resource offers useful tools for managing that initial emotional reaction, which is often shock, denial, or anger. Step 4. Investigate without prejudging. Between your conversations with both sides, your job is to look for corroboration. Are there other people who witnessed the incident described? Are there records, emails, or meeting notes that speak to the pattern? This is not about building a prosecution. It is about understanding whether the picture you have is complete. Talk to witnesses only when necessary, and do it quietly. Avoid framing your questions in ways that signal which direction you're leaning. Did you notice anything unusual in Thursday's team meeting? It's better than did you see how Marcus spoke to the team. Document everything you learn. Your notes are part of the official record of this process, and you may need to refer to them if the situation escalates or if either party disputes the outcome later. Step 5. Use shuttle mediation when direct dialogue is not yet possible. Shuttle mediation means you move between the parties rather than bringing them together. This is often the right approach in the early stages of anonymous complaint mediation, especially when the complainant's identity has not been disclosed or when the respondent's initial reaction makes a joint session unwise. In shuttle mediation, you carry information, not opinions. You report what each party has said in neutral terms, removing inflammatory language while preserving the substance. You look for areas of common ground, however small, and you build toward a shared understanding one conversation at a time. This approach takes longer than a joint session. It also tends to produce more durable agreements, because both parties have had time to settle before they are asked to face each other. For more on staying steady through these back and forth conversations, the How to Use the Core Framework to Stay Grounded During a Tense Workplace Conversation offers a practical anchor. Step 6. Build a shared agreement with both parties. When both sides have been heard and the core issue is clear, move toward a written agreement. This does not have to be formal or legalistic. It does have to be specific. A vague agreement, "We will communicate better going forward," gives people nothing to hold on to. A specific agreement in team meetings. Feedback on proposals will be given in writing within 24 hours rather than verbally in the moment gives both parties something they can observe and return to. If the complainant comes forward at this stage and is willing to participate in a joint session, use it. The How to Handle Conflict During Meetings guidance is worth reviewing before you bring both parties into the same space. If the complainant remains anonymous throughout, where agreement is made with the respondent about changes to their behaviour and working practices, document it. Share it with the appropriate manager or HR contact. Set a review date. When the complaint came through social media or internal messaging systems, Digital complaints carry an extra complication. They often exist in a format that others can see, share, or screenshot. Before you begin any mediation process involving an online complaint, take a record of the original content as it appeared, the platform, the date, the exact wording. Do not rely on memory or a verbal summary. If the complaint was posted in a team channel or group message, the respondent may already know about it, and other colleagues may have formed opinions. This changes the mediation landscape significantly. You are now managing not just the dispute between two people, but the perception of fairness held by everyone who witnessed the exchange. In these cases, a brief and neutral statement to the broader team, not about the complaint itself, but about the process you're following, can reduce speculation and protect both parties. Something like, "I'm aware that some tension has surfaced in our team communication recently. I'm looking into it and will follow our usual process for resolving workplace concerns." Say nothing more than that until the mediation is concluded. The how to use the deal method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates method is particularly useful here, because it gives you a structured way to address the group climate while the individual mediation runs separately. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where mediators go wrong with these cases. Three errors come up repeatedly in anonymous complaint mediation. All three are understandable. None of them are forgivable ones. You know what they cost. The mistake: sharing too much of the complaint with the respondent in the opening conversation. Why it happens: it feels like the fair thing to do, to be transparent with the person being accused. What to do instead? Share the substance, not the source. Share the behaviour described, not the specific words or details that would identify the complainant. You can be fair without being reckless with someone's safety. The mistake: moving to a joint session before both parties are ready. Why it happens: mediators feel pressure to resolve things quickly, and a joint session feels like progress. What to do instead? Use subtle mediation until both parties have had time to process, and until you're confident the joint session will not simply produce a second confrontation. Readiness cannot be rushed. The mistake: treating the complaint as resolved once the respondent agrees to change. Why it happens: the agreement feels like the finish line. What to do instead? Set a follow-up date, at least 4 weeks out, to review whether the agreed changes have held. Agreements made under pressure can dissolve quickly when the pressure lifts. The how to rebuild trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship guidance is worth having ready for this review stage. Your mediation checklist for anonymous complaints. Use this before, during, and after the process. Before you begin, number 1, have you confirmed that mediation is the appropriate route and not a formal investigation? Number 2, have you established your authority and the limits of your role? Number 3, have you recorded the original complaint in its exact form during the process? 4, have you read the complaint twice and written a plain language summary? 5, have you sought clarification from the complainant where a return channel exists? 6, have you approached the respondent privately and shared substance without revealing identity? 7, are you using subtle mediation before any joint session? 8, are your notes factual, dated, and securely stored? Moving toward agreement. 9, is the agreement specific, observable, and written down? 10, have you set a review date with both parties or their representatives? 11, have you notified the appropriate manager or HR contact of the outcome? If you're also managing feedback-related complaints within the mediation, the how to use the deal method to resolve disagreements about feedback at work method gives you a complementary framework for those conversations. What comes after the agreement? The agreement is not the end of your role. It is the beginning of the most fragile phase. The first 2 weeks after a mediated agreement are when old patterns reassert themselves, when one party interprets an ambiguous moment as a breach, or when a bystander stirs the situation back to life. Stay in quiet contact with both parties during this period, not to supervise them, to signal that the process is ongoing and that you are available if something shifts. A brief check-in message, one sentence asking whether things are settling, can prevent a small friction from becoming a second complaint. Here is the truth of anonymous complaint mediation. Does not demand that you solve the unsolvable. It demands that you build a fair structure where none existed. When you master that, you give people something they really expect from a process that began without a name attached, the experience of being treated with genuine respect on both sides. That is what anonymous complaint mediation, done with care and skill, can actually deliver. Frequently asked questions. What is anonymous complaint mediation? Anonymous complaint mediation is the process of resolving a workplace grievance when the complainant has not identified themselves. A mediator must triage the complaint, protect all parties, and work through structured steps to reach resolution without the usual face-to-face foundation. Can you mediate a complaint if the person stays anonymous? You can begin the process, but full mediation usually requires both parties to participate directly at some point. If the complainant stays anonymous throughout, a mediator may need to shift toward a formal investigation rather than a facilitated conversation between individuals. How do you stay impartial in anonymous complaint mediation? You stay impartial by treating the complaint as information, not evidence. Acknowledge what was submitted, investigate the substance without assuming guilt, and give the respondent a genuine opportunity to respond before any conclusions are drawn or next steps decided. What should a mediator do first when an anonymous complaint arrives? The first step is to triage the complaint, assess its seriousness, determine whether it describes a specific incident or a pattern, and decide whether mediation is the right route at all. Some complaints require formal investigation rather than a mediated conversation. How do online complaints differ from face-to-face grievances in mediation? Online complaints strip away tone, timing, and body language, which makes them easier to misread. A mediator must read the text carefully for factual claims versus emotional expression, and must not treat heated online language as literal intent without further verification. What happens when the respondent finds out about an anonymous complaint? Most respondents feel ambushed and defensive. A skilled mediator prepares and carefully explains the process, confirms what information will and will not be shared, and gives them space to respond without pressure. Handling this conversation poorly can derail the entire mediation. How do you protect confidentiality during anonymous complaint mediation? You set clear boundaries at the start what details from the complaint will be shared, with whom, and when. Never share the complainant identity without their consent. Document all agreements in writing, and remind all parties of confidentiality boundaries before each meeting. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.